It's my pleasure to introduce Brian. He's from an organisation called Disaster Aid Australia. Now, I guarantee a lot of you haven't heard about that, but by the time you leave at 2 o'clock, you know a lot more about it. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Alan. Pleased to be talking to you.
Brian, for those of us that don't know anything about Disaster Aid, can you just give us a quick outline what it is and what they do, please?
Yeah, certainly, Alan. It's Disaster Aid is a charity which is a project of the Rotary Club of Greater Dandenong and Endeavour Hills. It was set up by Rotarians because they felt sort of helpless when they saw international disasters. And they wanted to give direct help. So what Disaster Aid does is if there's disasters in our region, such as typhoons or earthquakes, we send volunteers to those sites and we help the people to recover from that disaster by helping them with shelter and safe drinking water.
So even though it's a project of Greater Dandenong and Endeavour Hills, I mean, the reason we're talking today, we don't have a lot of listeners down there, but this project is basically in a lot of ways worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah. As Disaster Aid Australia, we get people from all over Australia who support us with funds, both Rotary Clubs, individuals and companies have provided us with support. And we are one of the founders of the organisation Disaster Aid International. So there are in several other countries disaster aid organisations, and we all tend to concentrate on our region, but if there is a major incident, then wherever possible we try and help outside our region.
Brian,
for instance, at the moment the thing that is in all the news items is the Ukrainian crisis. And our partner Disaster Aid Europe is providing humanitarian assistance to people in the Ukraine, and we're supporting it financially and with sending our water filters to help provide safe water for those people that are affected.
Brian, it's not a case of you just sending money over, is it? I mean, but through the Rotary Clubs, you're able to work with people locally in the area, aren't you? You're not just sending stuff over and hoping it's going to get to the place where it should be.
No. Basically, that's what we want to do, to provide assistance that we can actually say to our supporters, yes, number one, this is aid that people actually have told us they need. So we don't just collect materials. We ask the people involved what they need.
Yep.
And then we work with trusted partners. Or since COVID started, we've had to work with trusted partners because we've not been able to travel. Pre-COVID, and hopefully in the near future, we'll actually be sending out volunteers to manage the aid distribution. But at the moment, as I say, we're working with our trusted partner, Disaster Aid Europe, and they are actually managing the delivery of needed goods. So what the people in the Ukraine, Rotarians largely in the Ukraine, have said is they need things like blankets and baby food. They want water filters, and so those are the items that we supply.
Well, that's great. So, and you are, as you say, when you send the volunteers out, which you mentioned prior to COVID, I mean, these people, it's not coming out of people's donations, is it? These are all volunteers who have to pay their own way.
Yeah, we actually do pick up their airfares. and basic accommodation, economy airfares, I should add. but they're not paid.
Yep.
We are a charity, and we do have some costs and require a little bit of administration. But pretty much 80% of every donation is actually delivered as material or equipment.
That's not bad. Some are down as low as 40% get sent out in donations in, don't they? The rest go in overheads.
Yeah. Well, that is our target. With COVID, we've actually not been able to get as much income as we had pre-COVID. Because there's been lots of problems within our region, we've actually continued to fund projects. And the last financial year, we actually delivered the same amount of material aid as we got in donations. But that was a quirk, because we decided that reserves are for dire situations.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian, and Brian's with Disaster Aid Australia. It is a program of Rotary. It was started by the Endeavour Hills Club, and it's now the Greater Dandenong Endeavour Hills Rotary Club. But it's not only in that area. Any of the Rotary clubs around here can be involved, and also we will talk to you as before the hour's up as to how you can donate. But Brian, you've got a terrific program called Safer Water. So tell us a bit about that, please.
Yeah, certainly, Alan. It really began when Disaster Aid was just providing water filters after disasters. Yep. And as an organisation, we've always been interested in learning and finding out if we can do things better. And so we visit places where we've aided 6 months or a year later. And we were going back to these communities where we provided a water filter. And they were telling us that their health then was much better than before the disaster. The water filters we provided had made a real difference to their lives. And when you do some research, it's quite clear why this should be.
Well, we don't live without water, do we?
No, but the World Health Organization, for instance, says 80% of all diseases in the developing world is a result of contaminated water.
Really?
So by providing the water filters for drinking water, we were actually stopping a lot of these diseases from occurring in those populations. So this was a sort of a eureka moment that people said, well, we can make a long-term difference to people's lives. And it doesn't cost very much. Basically, for our Safe Water for Every Child program, we provide water filters in developing countries at a cost of $5,000. Mm-hmm. And that water installation will protect a village of 700 people or a school of 1,000 children. The filter, before the actual filter membrane inside the unit needs replacing, will last 10 years. So the cost of safe water for the people that we help is $1 per person protected per year of protection. A dollar a year per person for safe water. When the founders of Disaster Aid found that they could do this, they said, well, the fact that in the time, for instance, that we are talking today, probably several children on average will have died from drinking contaminated water. That's a disaster.
Yeah.
We can do something about that disaster at very little cost.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly cost effective, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. We look at what other people are doing, and we find that we we are one of the lowest cost organisations for providing safe water. I mean, partly this is because most of the work is done by volunteers, but also we have a very cost effective filter system called a sky hydrant that we use. And probably the third aspect is we actually don't hand everything to people on a plate. We say to a community, would you like our help? If they agree, they are expected to provide free labour during the installation process.
That's fair.
And also construct a small building to house the filter to make sure it's kept safe. So we really work on the principle we're going to give people a hand up, not a hand out. They are part of the solution.
Oh, that's fair enough too. Brian, over the period of time, how many of these sky hydrants of that do you think have handed out?
Well, we would have distributed about 300. You'll have to excuse me because I've not been involved in disaster aid the full time.
Yep.
But in the last 5 years, it would have been something in the region of about 250. We've just on the point of completing a major project in the country of Bhutan. Some of your listeners may not be too aware of Bhutan because I wasn't a few years ago. But it's a country in the Himalayas. And our project there has been to supply every major school in the country with safe water for their children.
That's a terrific effort, isn't it?
Yeah. So we provided 120 units to Bhutan, and that protects 90,000 pupils and staff at schools in that country.
It's hard to believe, isn't it, when we all just go and turn on our tap and expect to get fresh water and that, to think that some of these people are in fact getting very sick and probably dying because of contaminated water.
Yeah. I can tell you that typically when we've installed a filter at a school, the absences at the school drop between 70 and 80%.
Gee, yep. That's a terrific number, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not just about safe water. Because the children don't miss out on school, it helps with their education, all sorts of things that you might not first think about.
Brian, on all our lips at the moment is Ukraine. So what is your group doing regarding Ukraine?
Yeah, well, basically, as I previously mentioned, Disaster Aid Europe are based in Prague, which is a few hours' drive from the Ukraine border in Slovakia. So we have been, as you say, provided them with some funds and water filters. And what they're doing is that beside the funds from us, they're collecting funds from around Europe and other disaster aid partners, buying those needed goods and shuttling trailer loads of equipment and materials across the border and handing over to Ukrainian refugees. Just an interesting example of how disaster aid saves money. Before this Ukrainian crisis erupted, I'd already booked a trip to Prague as part of a family holiday.
Yep.
I'd arranged to take in my Czech luggage a couple of water filters. So Easter Monday, I'll be setting off with my wife, and I've told her to keep her luggage light because we will be taking a couple of water filters to Prague. And because of the crisis, my colleague has booked me in to do some training of Ukrainian and Slovakian Rotarians in how to install and operate the filters as well. So we're transporting two filters at zero cost because I'm paying my own airfare for a family holiday. And we will be helping Disaster Aid Europe and be able to actually review what they're doing and making sure our money is well spent.
Well, that's terrific, isn't it?
It's an interesting what happens when you get involved in international aid organisations.
And Brian, I guess too that one of the things that we will talk about before you go is that we'll give people the opportunity to find out more, and maybe as a group out there or a school out there that wants to raise some money and pass it on to Disaster Aid Australia so that you can even take the work even further.
Yep. Yeah, we do have a comprehensive website and Facebook that are regularly updated because for people that support us, we are really keen that they can see that we are delivering aid and that their money is well spent.
Yeah, I mean, because
it's not just taking the money.
Yeah, people get a little bit cynical, don't they? They hear of some of these organisations and, you know, 5-10% of the money goes to the intended people and a lot of it goes in other ways. And I think people do get a bit cynical. I've had a few people say to me, oh, yeah, we're very careful where we give our money because that often happens.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I'm the chief executive of Disaster Aid. And I receive zero money from Disaster Aid. It probably costs me a couple of $1,000s a year in actually making donations, travelling to speaking engagements and such like. There's no one getting a big executive salary in our organisation.
And that's the way it should be. I mean, when people give money, they want to see it get. And the other thing I too, and I just want you to stress this because I know that some people have gone around collecting donations of, you know, goods and that, and then they get sent down to somebody on the wharf and they get stolen overseas and they don't always get to the people that really need them. But your organisation only works through people they know, don't they?
We only work through people we know, and we actually only ship the water filters. Everything else we buy locally.
So you're helping the economy in those areas as well, aren't you?
Yeah. Basically, we can buy materials and equipment in local areas cheaper than you can buy it in Australia.
And there's no freight cost.
So again, it wins all round. It allows us to deliver more aid at lower cost.
Yeah, and helps the economy of the country where you're buying the material too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and particularly after disasters, you know, it really does help them recover.
Yeah.
Anyone that has actually been involved in aid after disasters. We'll be able to tell you at ports they have containers that arrive with goods and then they sit at that port for years.
Yeah, and I do.
Because it's not materials that have been requested, it's people overseas who thought they knew what people wanted.
Yep. Brian, the other thing too, I know we do have some school principals listening to us from time to time. I guess something like this would be a great project for a school too to raise some money and donate it to Disaster Aid as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, we certainly work with schools already. Yep. I've actually done presentations at schools, and one of our other people working here is actually a teacher, and she's actually participated in Zoom training sessions and education sessions for schools. So yeah, we would welcome any interest from schools, and we can provide lots of information so that the school actually gets value out of the partnership, as well as helping us.
Helping you. We're talking to Brian from Disaster Aid Australia. Brian, it was a great foresight for all the people, obviously Rotarians, who started this, the idea of Disaster Aid Australia.
Yes, it was members of the Endeavour Hills Club in 2010. They actually...
So it's been going 12 years.
Yeah, yes. I've only been involved the last 5 years, but yeah, it started in 2010 that the members of the Rotary Club decided that they would like to provide international aid program, and looked around for ideas and came up with the idea of Disaster Aid Australia, and it has grown from there. But it was basically initially four people of the club, and they got the other members of the club to buy into the idea, and we've been running ever since.
And one, that's one of those things too, isn't it? When it comes up from grassroots, it they're very usually very, very successful, aren't they? Because they're people who see a passion or see a need, or should I say, that needs to be fulfilled, and they go about doing something about it, don't they? Rather than some organisation saying, "Oh, I think we should do this." I think they're a great ways to go.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I would say is we see ourselves as a community-to-community organisation. Rotary is a community organisation. And in our aid, we tend to look for the villages and such like that. The bigger agencies who concentrate on the cities may miss out on.
Yep.
So we look for a small community where we can really make a difference, rather than spreading our aid too thin.
And you're not just handing out to one person, are you? When you're putting water on, as you say, you're sort of looking after hundreds and hundreds of people in one hit, aren't you?
Yeah. Basically, we provide a filter, and it's typically a village of 500 to 700 people, and with our disaster aid, the same thing. We would help a village to repair and rebuild their homes after they've been destroyed in an earthquake or a typhoon.
And I think there's been some problems overnight in the Philippines. Did I hear something about that on the news this morning?
Yeah. There has been another typhoon through the Philippines, and we'll be looking to that. We've done a lot of aid projects in the Philippines. They and Bhutan at the moment are the places where we've put the majority of our water filters.
Yep.
And as you said, we've also responded in the Philippines with rebuilding programs where houses have been damaged.
Oh, good.
And,
Brian, all right, we've got people listening today and they've heard all about Disaster Aid. They're not necessarily a Rotarian, but they really want to do something about it. So how are they going to find out more about it, Brian?
Yeah, well, probably the best things are... we do have a website, and it is www.disasteraidaustralia.org.au. And we also have a Facebook page, which is just simply Disaster Aid Australia.
All right, yep.
And if you look out on the website, you'll certainly find all our contact details.
Yep, so they can ring you and all sorts of stuff?
Yeah, the phone numbers. Sometimes we might not get back as quickly as other people's because we are largely a volunteer organisation.
Yep, that's fair too.
So, for instance, I'm retired several years ago, but I'm normally in the office 3 days a week.
Yep. Brian, I guess there's two things we're looking for today, aren't we? We're looking for any groups that want to raise money for Disaster Aid Australia. And I guess we're also looking for Mr. and Mrs. Average who would might be happy to put some money towards these. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, basically, anyone that wants to support people in the developing world who perhaps aren't as lucky as people in Australia and are suffering from either disasters or unsafe water. What we can provide is very efficient economical aid. As I said before, $1 per person per year to protect people from waterborne diseases. We have repaired homes in developing countries for as little as $500.
Brian, the other thing too that I think you should just mention if you can is the you were saying about when you put water into some of these places, particularly the school, the absentees are dropped because young people are missing out on school for a number of reasons, and this shouldn't be one that they're missing out on, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Children missing out on school, but in areas where there's lots of waterborne diseases, the other problem is that children are continually falling ill during the day. The teachers trying to manage sick children and try and teach as well. So that's what teachers are reporting to us. They say our attendance is much better and we actually have more time to teach.
And I suppose the other thing is too that you're keeping the teachers at school as well. I mean, because they must be susceptible to the same sorts of issues as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it really makes a big difference to the whole community.
Really?
Even to things like the adults don't get sick as much, so they can work in the fields and be more effective at growing crops.
Because a lot of those places, there's no sick leave and all that either, is there? If you don't work, you don't get paid.
Absolutely not, no.
Yeah, we're a very lucky country, but you know we need to realise that a lot of these issues aren't they're almost at our back door in some instances, aren't they?
Just a few hours on a plane. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've actually provided aid to people in Bali, which is, many of your listeners will have been to Bali.
But we've actually
following a volcano, there were lots of people displaced, and we helped there. So it's not remote places that people there wouldn't know. And again, we provide aid to the Philippines. There are quite large Philippine communities around Melbourne.
Absolutely. Brian, we're fast coming to an end, unfortunately. The hour goes very quickly. Could you just give us your contact details again, please?
Well, the best thing is through our website, and that provides all the contact details. So it's just www.disasteraidaustralia.org.au.
Yep, so if they look at that, well, they're going to find out more about the program as well too, aren't they?
Yeah. As I said, the website's very much up to date with the latest news, so you can find out a lot more from the website.
Terrific. Brian, it's been great having you with us. I wish you well in all that you do, and enjoy your trip overseas, and I'll get you working while you're there at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the opportunity to speak, Alan.
No worries, Brian. It's been a pleasure to have you, and I certainly hope that we can generate some interest for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.